My name is Ethan Flournoy. I'm a turf grass management student at Mississippi State University. My research was on the use of glyphosate-tolerant perennial ryegrass in the southeast. Bermuda grass courses in the south go dormant during the winter months, so most of them will often overseed with perennial ryegrass to improve color, aesthetics, density, playability, all the aspects of turf grass quality. One of the major problems with managing perennial ryegrass is Poa annua control because of its there are few herbicides on the market to control Poa annua but not perennial ryegrass. So the introduction of two new cultivars of perennial ryegrass that are glyphosate tolerant introduces a new unique tool for turf managers in the control of Poa annua. A little bit more about Poa annua. It is one of the most problematic weeds in turf due to its light green color, bunch-type growth habit, and prolific seed head production. There are a few pre-emergent herbicides to control Poa annua. However, these herbicides can cause injury to your perennial ryegrass germination, and due to the long germination period of Poa annua, they're sometimes ineffective. There are post-herbicides for control of Poa annua. However, these herbicides are often inconsistent. There has been resistance issues reported, and they can cause injury to your perennial ryegrass. So the origins of glyphosate-tolerant perennial ryegrass. The picture on the left is a picture from a turf breeding trial in Maryland, where they tested many new cultivars of perennial ryegrass. After the trial was over, they sprayed two applications of a deadly rate of glyphosate, and everything in the trial died except for one small plot that you see in the red box on the right picture. Those plants from that plot was taken and bred for glyphosate tolerance. How glyphosate works, this is a picture of the shikimate pathway, hopefully resulting in the formation of the three essential amino acids at the bottom. Glyphosate comes and blocks the EPSPS enzyme, blocking shikimate from passing through the pathway. This causes a buildup of shikimate in the plant. Keep that in mind for the next slide. And this research done out of Oregon State University comparing two non-tolerant cultivars to two tolerant cultivars. The application of glyphosate was made and buildup of shikimate was then measured on the y-axis 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and 5 days after application. So 5 days, we see a huge buildup of shikimate, meaning that the pathway is blocked due to glyphosate. However, in the two tolerant cultivars, there's very little shikimate buildup, meaning that the pathway is functioning. Previous research out of Oregon State shows that on optimal growing conditions, you can spray a maximum of 0.58 kilograms of acid equivalent per hectare to cause greater than 90% Poa annua control in a permanent ryegrass stand. The three plots here, you see that there is no damage between the low rate and the high rate of glyphosate. However, the high rate did control the light green Poa annua much better. Other previous research, this is also from Oregon State, they found that under non-optimal conditions, which are less than 10 degrees Celsius, the rate goes from 0.81 to a 0.28 kilogram acid equivalent per hectare to not cause injury. Other previous research out of Auburn, they found that in December, a max rate to not cause injury was 0.16 kilograms acid equivalent per hectare. In January, was 0.17. And in February, no glyphosate rate tested resulted in greater than 20% injury in the perennial ryegrass stand. For Poa annua control, they found that a single application of 0.28 in January or a sequential application of 0.14 in January caused greater than 90% Poa annua control with minimal perennial ryegrass injury. So the objective of my research was to determine the best application timing and rate to maintain acceptable spring color of the glyphosate-tolerant perennial ryegrass cultivar Replay. Field trials were conducted in Starkville, Mississippi in the winters of 2012-2013 and 2013-2014. Perennial ryegrass was overseeded at a rate of 730 kilograms per hectare on October 15, 2012 and November 5, 2013. Ryegrass was maintained at 1.27 centimeters. Our rates included a untreated control, a 0.29 kilogram acid equivalent per hectare, a 0.58, 0.87, and 1.26 rate. We used a 4 pound per gallon formulation of Roundup Pro from Monsanto as our product. Our timings were, we had a single application in March, April, and May, and then sequential applications, March followed by April, April followed by May, March followed by May, then one each of the 3 months. For data collection, injury was visually rated on a scale of 1 to 9, 9 being dark green, perfect, ideal turf grass, 1 being brown and dead turf grass, 6 is considered commercially acceptable. We also used a normalized difference vegetation index to get a non-subjective rating for color evaluation. We won't present those results due to time, but the results did correlate to our visual ratings. And data collection began 20 days after initial application and was rated every 10 days following. For data analysis, we used randomized complete block design with 3 replications, mean separation using Fisher's least significant difference with alpha equaling 0.05. We also used regression analysis to determine at what rate glyphosate caused color to drop below the acceptable threshold. Our results, for a single application, we found no significant interaction between rate and time. This chart shows that in March and April, for a single application, the ratings remained above 6, which is the red indicated by the red line. For our rates, 0.29 and 0.58. remained above the acceptable threshold. The letters indicate the significant difference using the LSD, and even though that the May applications were below the acceptable threshold, there was no significant difference between the April and May ratings, and same goes for the rates of 0.87 and the 0.58 rate. There was no significance even though the ratings was below 6. For our regression analysis, on the y-axis, we have our color ratings. For the x-axis, we have our glyphosate rate. We was able to find a line using regression analysis, and we found that in March, 1.16 kilograms acid equivalent per hectare was our maximum rate to not cause injury. For April, our max rate was 1.01, and for May, our max rate was 0.6 kilograms acid equivalent per hectare. This is a picture of our plots. We see that the untreated control, the 0.29, the 0.58, and the 0.87 rates see minimal injury. Only the 1.26, which is the highest rate, experienced injury. For sequential applications, we did find significant correlation between rate and timings throughout the trial. This graph shows that only the 0.29 rate sprayed March followed by April on the left remained above the 0.6 rating. However, March followed by May, when applications were 60 days apart, we found that the 0.29 rate and the 0.58 rate caused minimal injury that remained above the color threshold. Using regression analysis, we found that our max rate spraying March followed by April was 0.4 kilograms acid equivalent per hectare, and then March followed by May, it increased to 0.91. For March followed by April followed by May, our rate was 0.65 to not cause significant injury. And April followed by May, we also found that it was 0.9 kilograms acid equivalent to not cause injury. This picture compares our rates. Two pictures on the left is our March followed by May. The top one is our 0.29 rate, and you see there's no injury, and there was also no injury at the 0.58 rate of the March followed by May. However, when we using our sequential applications, March followed by April, at 0.29 there is no injury, but at 0.58 there is some injury to that plot. So a summary, the maximum tolerance thresholds for March was 1.16, for April was 1.01, for May was 0.6. all rates except the 1.26 rate recovered completely after 40 days. For sequential applications, we found that March followed by April, rates greater than 0.4 resulted in unacceptable injury. March followed by May, color remained greater than 6 for rates less than 0.19, and those results were the same for April followed by May. For our application once each month, the color remained less than 6 for rates greater than 0.65. Single applications, our recommendations for single application are maximum application rate in March of 0.58. This provides overlap protection and will not cause injury. Sequential applications, our maximum rate March followed by May or April followed by May of 0.46 provides overlap protection and will not cause injury to your perennial ryegrass. Some future research we might do is on POA annua resistance to glyphosate. There are a few publications out of University of Tennessee in Missouri on POA annua resistance to glyphosate. We also might incorporate alternative AIs to try to prevent resistance to glyphosate from POA annua, and take mixing glyphosate with other products for improved POA annua control and increased safety for the end user. Questions? Yes. So the question is, would I recommend alternating glyphosate with another product for POA annual control to prevent resistance? And I would most definitely. Those four herbicides that I showed at my introduction, I would recommend possibly switching out glyphosate with one of those that has been already proven to not cause ryegrass injury. That would be an effective tool, yes. Any more? Yes, ma'am.
Do you think your results would be similar if you looked at another perennial ryegrass cultivar?
For glyphosate tolerance, no, ma'am. We only have two tolerant cultivars to glyphosate tested thus far. Everything else that have been in test are susceptible and will have maximum injury, a lot of injury. Yes.
Yes, sir.
They're different. Yes.
How do you control the herbicide drift because your spots are pretty close?
I'm sorry, say that again.
The herbicide drift?
Drift?
Yeah. How do you control between plots?
We didn't have much drift. We tried to spray on days that wasn't windy. Our conditions this year was just ideal for that. So we didn't really have any drift issues, but to prevent drift really from each ply, we'd go with different nozzles, just make more of a downward spray or a wider spray so we could hold it closer to the ground to try to prevent that drift. Yeah. So the comparison between NDVI and visual ratings, in our results, we found that our bad plots tested bad with the NDVI and the visual ratings. They correlated very well. So basically, the NDVI was used to get a non-subjective reading for it, and they correlated well.